Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
Lots to talk about.
Tech Guide.
It's a very well-rounded product, combines great design, great technology, lots of excellent features.
Tech Guide.
This is why Samsung has seen a huge surge, why their profits are up.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is not an ultrabook. If you're looking for something small, slim and lightweight, then you need to look elsewhere.
Tech Guide.
Probably one of the most impressive little devices I've seen in quite a while.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Hello and welcome to Tech Guide, episode 111, all the ones. This is the podcast that keeps you updated and educated about the latest consumer technology. It's great to have your company again. And if you're joining us for the first time, welcome. Thanks you for listening and thanks for downloading. I'm Stephen Fenwick and I'm the proud editor of techguide.com.au. On this week's program, Apple kicks off a battery replacement program for the iPhone. Are smartphones stunting kids emotionally? And the Samsung Galaxy S5 does the ice bucket challenge. In the Tech Guide reviews, we're going to take a look at the keyboard for your PC and your smart TV, the solar-powered Bluetooth in-car speakerphone, and the app that will ensure your kids call you back. And we'll finish off with a double barrel Tech Guide help desk, and it's all brought to you by Netgear, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products. A huge show this week on Tech Guide. Well, this is a story that's going to interest a lot of iPhone users, particularly those who complain about the battery life of their device and complain that it runs out too soon. Apple have actually kicked off a battery replacement program for the iPhone 5. Now, if you have an iPhone 5 and you purchased it between September 2012 and January 2013, then you could be eligible for a free battery replacement. Now, why that period? Well, Apple has identified that time where a faulty battery may have been installed in iPhones that were purchased in that window. Now, it's very easy to check if your device is eligible for the free battery replacement. I've put a link on the Tech Guide story about this. So simply go to that link, find your iPhone 5 serial number. It's very easy to do that in the device's settings, and type that serial number into the page that is linked from the Tech Guide page. That's the battery replacement program page on the Apple website. And it will then tell you whether you are eligible to have your battery replaced. Now, you can do that at an authorized Apple service provider or at an Apple store. Now, the program will finish in March next year. So you've got a bit of time on your hands, but with the new iPhone due out in a few weeks, and we'll talk about the latest rumors in a moment, but many people will ask, well, is my two-year-old phone worth replacing? Should I just get an iPhone 6? Well, I'd say yes, if you can get a free battery replacement. So and the iPhone 5, even though it's 2 years old, is still a good phone, maybe something you could sell, trade in, hand down to another family member, well worth it. But I've had a lot of interest on this battery story on Tech Guide, and people who have responded, obviously people who have had issues with their batteries and are very curious to find out whether their iPhone qualifies for this free battery replacement. I've had a few people tweeting me. You can tweet me at Stephen Fenwick, and that's Stephen with a PH. I've had a few people on Twitter telling me that even though their phone falls outside this period, this affected period, that's September 12, January to January 2013 period, they're still complaining that their iPhone battery does run out. Well, we can't help you there. Neither Apple can't help you with that one. But if your battery is affected and it was bought during that period, then you might be in luck. You might have a brand new battery installed in your device. Now, we mentioned the iPhone 6 is only just around the corner, and we've seen probably the best, if these are correct, probably the best leak, if it could be called that, of the new iPhone is going to not only going to look like, but also some of the specs. So is this the best look at the iPhone 6? That was a question I posed on Tech Guide as well. A site called Behance.net, which is a site that looks at industrial design. It's kind of a Pinterest site for industrial design. Well, they had this story on their site, so it had a look at the iPhone 6. What to me appears to be some of the marketing material that we may see once the iPhone 6 is announced. That date, which is yet to be confirmed, by the way, is going to be September 9, yet to be confirmed by Apple, but that's what everyone's saying. Reportedly, that will be the media event when the new iPhone will be revealed. Now, what's shown on this story that I've shown on Tech Guide from Behance.net is the phone, the specs of the phone, and they are claiming, if this is real, that the iPhone 6 is going to be 6.5 millimeters thick, which is significantly thinner than the iPhone 5S. It's going to still have the Touch ID fingerprint reader. It's going to be 6.7 millimeters wide. This is a 4.7 inch, by the way. There are rumors that there are going to be two iPhones, a 5.5 inch and this 4.7 inch, if this is legit. So the 4.7 will be 67 millimeters wide, so that's 6.7 centimeters, and 13.8 centimeters tall. So if you want to do those calculations and put that up against your iPhone 5 or iPhone 5S to see the price, the size difference. But you know what? There are a couple of things here that don't make sense. They do show the back of the phone and claim that it's got a single LED flash. Well, I think that'd be a step backwards from the 5S because it had a dual flash. And they're also saying that it's going to weigh just 100 grams. I don't think that'll be right either. That's a little bit light, I think, for my money. It's probably going to be around the 130, maybe even 140 gram mark. Because you've got to remember, it is going to be a bigger device. Even though it's thinner, it's still going to have a larger surface area. It's going to be an actually physically larger device. So I think it's going to weigh a little bit more than 100 grams. If it is just 100 grams, I'll be very, very pleasantly surprised. And it does also show that there are going to be three colors again: space gray, gold, and silver. So keep an eye out on that. They are the best. This is the best look we had. Also, one other stat before we go. They're saying that the new screen with a 4.7 inch screen will have sapphire glass. So that's this new tough, almost unbreakable glass. And it will have the resolution isn't stated here, but they're saying that according to Behance.net, it'll have 441 PPI. That's pixels per inch. The current iPhone 5S has 326 pixels per inch. So that's an improvement there as well. If you want to check those stories out, if you want to check if your iPhone can get a new battery, you can do that, as well as looking at these new images from Behance.net at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Now, if you're a parent, you can maybe respond to this story. You've no doubt, if you've got a child that's in the early teens, maybe 11, 12 and older, will know if they do own a smartphone, you will no doubt notice that they spend a lot of time on it. I know I've got three teenage kids and their head is constantly down at this screen, and they are on Instagram and Snapchat and chatting to each other, and they spend most of their time looking down at that little screen. Well, this is according to the University of California in Los Angeles, that's UCLA, this practice, so young people being glued to their devices and plugged in constantly to social media, is actually reducing their face-to-face social skills. That may not come as a surprise. It certainly doesn't to me. UCLA did a very interesting study with more than 100 sixth graders. So what they did, they split them up into two groups. Half of them went into a camp and they weren't allowed to access electronics of any kind, so no devices. And according to UCLA, this was a bit of a struggle for the first couple of days, but they soon adapted and just got on with it. So they were talking to each other and they were enjoying each other's company, doing things apart from looking at devices and looking at social media and things like that. The other half, business as usual. And what they did with the study is they were asked to then evaluate people's emotions in a series of pictures and videos. Now, the half that were in camp and were not allowed to use their devices, they had a significantly higher response rate in identifying the emotions on these people's faces. So what the research is saying is that these kids who use smartphones constantly plugged into social media are becoming emotionally stunted. So they're very hard to pick up non-verbal cues and read facial emotions. They were given a series of images and videos where there were people that were had happy expressions, they were sad, angry, scared, and it was difficult for some of the kids to identify that. And they think the reason for that is because they're plugged into not face-to-face contact, but screen-to-screen contact. So it's this virtual contact that is reducing their ability to read people's emotions, to read facial emotions, and to pick up on those non-verbal clues. So what is the moral to this story? I think the moral is that your child needs to look up, needs to see the world around them and to talk to the people around them rather than the people that aren't around them. I see this constantly, and look, I'll even rip around in my own children. We're out at dinner and they're on their phones, and I said to them simply, look, you're giving your attention to people who aren't with you. We're here with you. We deserve your attention. I think that's a great way for a parent to maybe get through to the child that, you know, the time that you spend together in person is valuable time and should be enjoyed, and thereby gives them these social skills, these cues, these ability to pick up these emotions and live a normal, healthy, have a normal, healthy relationship with other people in the flesh, rather than it all being across social media and over across the internet. So I think a really important study there. If you want to read more about that, you can do that at techguide.com.au. Now, I'm sure you've all heard about the Ice Bucket Challenge. There's plenty of celebrities and various other sporting figures and journalists and TV personalities that are videoing themselves dunking their heads, tipping a bucket of ice water over their heads. Well, that's all in aid of motor neurone disease. It's been a very successful campaign. It's gone viral. And the idea of the challenge is this, is that you are people who are doing the challenge normally nominate other people to continue. So it's got a sort of viral spread there. And what the idea is that you do it and that you nominate other people to do it to keep the ball rolling. And the one interesting thing we saw over the weekend is Samsung decided to jump all over this as a marketing opportunity. Now, they're always on the lookout, Samsung, to promote the brand and to point out the differences, let's say, between their products and their rival products. Now, a lot of people criticize them, saying that they're trying to take advantage of a charitable thing where the Ice Bucket Challenge, obviously, for motor neurone research. But I think it's actually quite clever. I applaud this, and I'm sure Samsung would have donated some money, if not a large sum of money, for motor neurone disease, also called Lou Gehrig's disease in the US. But the Ice Bucket Challenge was done by the Samsung Galaxy S5. Now, you have to remember, the Galaxy S5 is waterproof. So I thought it was clever in that sense to see the Galaxy S5 dunked in water and ice and having the phone actually talking. It was a woman's voice, computerized voice, and the water and ice is tumbling across the phone, and the voice says, gosh, that's freezing. And at the end of it, once the ice and water had finished being poured over the device, then the phone went on and nominated other phones. And have a guess, the other phones: the iPhone 5S, the HTC One M8, and the Nokia Lumia 930, none of which are waterproof. So I think therein is very clever use of a viral thing that's happening. Samsung have turned that into a tiny little marketing ploy for themselves to point out the fact that, a very cheeky way to point out that the Galaxy S5 is waterproof and the other devices are not. So we're not going to see an iPhone doing this anytime soon, or an HTC One M8, or a Nokia Lumia 930. So well done, Samsung. There are some people who maybe think it was in a bad taste, but I disagree. I think they've had a bit of fun. I'm sure they maybe should have stated in their video, which is, I've linked it on Tech Guide, by the way, if you want to check it out. I reckon they should have said that they've donated, I don't know, $1 million to the motor neurone disease, and that would have shut up all those people who think it was in poor taste. But anyway, I'll let you decide for yourself. check out my story and the video of the Samsung Galaxy S5 Ice Bucket Challenge at techguide.com.au.
Keeping you updated and educated. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finney.
Tech Guide.
The Tech Guide podcast is proudly sponsored by Netgear, Australia's number one Wi-Fi brand, and they've just released the Nighthawk X6, the world's first tri-band Wi-Fi router, the Nighthawk X6 R8000. Just think for a moment about the number of wireless devices you have in the house. Is it 5? Is it 10? Maybe 20. If you're like me, it's a lot more than 20. If you find your devices aren't performing as fast as they should in wireless streaming or gaming or updating, it could be that your wireless traffic is congested and fighting each other for network bandwidth. Well, the latest router from Netgear eliminates that problem no matter how many people and devices are using your network. The Nighthawk X6 is here, and it's incredible. The X6 delivers a massive combined wireless speed of up to 3.2 gigabits per second. There's never been Wi-Fi like it. Even if everyone in the house and everything is streaming and gaming, working, playing, socializing, or updating all at the same time, the X6 won't miss a beat. So if you're looking for the ultimate in speed, range, and advanced features for your home network, upgrade to the Netgear Nighthawk R8000 X6 and get ready for the extreme. Check out the Nighthawk at netgear.com.au/Nighthawk X6.
Tech Guide.
Now, a Tech Guide review with Stephen Fennett.
Tech Guide.
Okay, we're going to kick off the Tech Guide review with a keyboard. A keyboard from Logitech, the K830 keyboard nonetheless. Now, this is a very handy Bluetooth keyboard. Comes with the keyboard itself, of course. Comes with a Bluetooth dongle. And whatever you plug the dongle in, let's just say it's your desktop computer or maybe a laptop, the keyboard will be able to connect and you can use that as your keyboard. Now, not only does it have keys, it's also got a trackpad on the right-hand side. So it's got the trackpad, it's also got left and right button controls, mouse button controls, and it is also illuminated. So for the lights, it's got an ambient light sensor, lights die down, the keys illuminate, which is really handy considering the other great use you can have for this keyboard, and that's to use with a smart TV. Now, we hooked it up here at the Tech Guide offices with up to a Sharp TV and also up to a Samsung Smart TV. And what we did is we connected the dongle to the USB port on the back of the TV. Now, there is an extension cable that allows you to connect the back of the TV with the cable and then connect the dongle at the end of the table so it's visible. It's kind of in the line of sight of the Bluetooth keyboard. It also worked with just the dongle in the USB port on the back of the TV as well, by the way. But they do offer you that extension so you can possibly bring that dongle a little bit closer to the keyboard. It's got a 10-meter radius, so if you happen to be on the edge of that, the cable might be able to bring you in range. But when it's used with a smart TV, it makes using some of your smart TV's features even easier. So imagine browsing the web, for example, on your smart TV. Now, it is a bit of a pain if you don't have a good mouse, if you don't have the remote control of your smart TV to help you guide it. There are some. I think the LG's got the magic mouse, so it's got the magic remote, and it moves the cursor around the screen. But others, it takes a lot of time. It's very frustrating. Entering text means you have to tap on an on-screen virtual keyboard. You've got to go one letter to the other letter, and it takes ages even to type in a short search term or a web address. Well, those problems are solved when you've got the Logitech K830 connected to your smart TV, because you get the full keyboard there, and you've also got the trackpad. So if you're on the web browser, for example, and I did this with a 70-inch Sharp TV that I'm reviewing at the moment, I was able to call up the browser, type in an address in the address bar, navigate with the trackpad so that the little pointer moved around the screen in time with the trackpad. And it was like surfing a web page on your computer, made things a lot easier. There are also media controls, so you can control playback, and you can also there are buttons to cursor control buttons, so you can simply go up and down of a list or move down up and down a website. So it is very handy to have a keyboard like this, and the keyboard itself is pretty small and light. It's got a nice curved edge design and a flat back, back so that it does sit comfortably on your lap, so you could easily enter a search term or type in a password or a web address. So it makes those things really easy. The keys are very responsive, accurate typing, and the function keys along the top row as well. There are also some media controls there too. So we found this a very handy device to have with you watching your smart TV. And if you then want to bring it back into your office and use with your PC, simply pull out the dongle on the back of the TV, stick it in your PC, and you're up and running. No need to do any pairing. It just works. Once the dongle's connected to the computer, the two will look for each other, and it works a treat. And as I said, it's got those illuminated keys that make things easier as well. You want to check out my review, the Logitech K830 Illuminated Living Room Keyboard. It even says it on the box that it's meant for the living room. It's priced at $129.95, and you can read my full report at techguide.com.au. Now, we all know that holding your smartphone and talking, holding it to your ear in your car is highly illegal. And if you get caught, it's normally a couple of points and a hefty fine. Well, you should have an in-car speakerphone. And we're checking out a brand new one that was just released by an Australian company, spelt S-I-L-I. I don't think it's pronounced silly, maybe Siley, I'm not sure. But it's S-I-L-I. And the product is called Drive Talk. Now, this is a Bluetooth in-car speakerphone that can attach with a non-grip, with a grip base to your dashboard. So the big difference, though, is that on the back of this product is a solar panel, which is really clever when you think the sun shines in the front of your car. You know, if it's parked for a long time, there's sun shining in the top, and this is constantly being charged and the charge being topped up. You can plug it into a USB connection if you like. There's a rechargeable battery on board. It does have a micro USB port. You want to do an express charge, connect your cable. Everything will be charged in 2 hours. If you have it in the sun, it'll take 12 hours. But if you've got a full charge, it's going to keep topping that charge up with the solar panel on the back. Now, it's not that big. It's less than 10 centimeters long and 8 centimeters wide, so it doesn't take a lot of room on your dashboard. As I said, the angled back panel has that solar panel, which faces the sun, of course. The front has a microphone and speaker, so naturally facing the driver, so you can easily make and receive calls. So easy to be heard and easy to hear the people you're calling. Along the top is one button, a one touch, so you can one touch to answer, reject, redial. So very simple operation. Can pair with your phone via Bluetooth, so the phone can be out of sight, can be on a mount or in your bag or whatever, but you don't have to touch it when you get a call. All you need to do is hit the button on top, and it will answer your call. Now, there's also a noise reduction microphone, so it's can detect ambient noise and filter it out, so that the calls that we made and received on it were actually quite clear. That solar panel, as I said, also adds to the charge, so you're never going to get in your car. One problem with having a Bluetooth speakerphone is that if you forget to charge it and you get in the car, it's not going to work, of course. So you've got to remember to actually take it out of your car, charge it up, or connect a cable. With this, at least you're going to get some power. It's going to have, your battery's going to be topped up constantly, especially if you leave it in the sun for a long period of time. You're going to get a nice charge at the end of the day. So when you get in the car, ready to make your calls on the way home, you'll have plenty of juice left. The Drive Talk from Silly, I don't know how to pronounce that name. It's priced at $49.95, and I've created a link on my story on Tech Guide if you wanted to order it. It's going to be available soon in retail outlets, but as I said, if you want to check it out and see what it looks like, you can do that at techguide.com.au.
Tech Guide. This is Tech Guide with Stephen Finnick.
Now, they say necessity is the mother of invention. Now, in this case, the mother has literally invented something. And what we're talking about is an app. And the app is called Ignore No More. A mother in Houston, Texas, who was frustrated when her kids would not return her calls or text messages that she sent them. And this frustration led to her thinking of a way around this to make them call her back. Well, she did solve the problem with that app, Ignore No More. Now, how does it work? You install it on the parent's phone, also install it on the child's phone. So what happens if your child doesn't return your phone call? You have the power to remotely lock your child's device so they can't send any text messages, can't ring anyone else except you. To unlock their phone, they have to call you back. So what greater way to encourage that? Ring you back, phone's unlocked. Now, when it is locked, they are still able to make emergency calls if they get into, you know, God forbid, some kind of emergency. They can still dial 000 or 911, depending on where they're using their devices. But it doesn't work any other way. It's bricked phone, so no other, can't call anyone else, can't text anyone else, unless they call their father or mother back through the Ignore No More app. It's priced at $1.99. That is a bit expensive. $1.99. It's available for Google devices, for Android devices, I should say, through the Play Store. There is talk that it is coming to the Apple, to the iPhone. There are some saying that it may not come. Apple may not allow this for a device to be remotely locked. But you think of Find My iPhone, that allows you to remotely lock your phone, allows you to remotely wipe your phone. So with the right permissions, we know the technology's there. So whether Apple approve this or not, I'm pretty sure they will. We'll wait and see. But it's $1.99 for each device it's installed on. So if you've got three kids, it's going to cost $1.99 for you, and then $1.99 for each of your children. So if you are frustrated, it is worth the money. If you want them to call you back when you say, and I've got three teenage kids too, it is frustrating when you call them and they don't bother to return your call or don't bother to return your text. So this mother, her name is Sharon Standiford from Houston, Texas, decided to do something about it, and Ignore No More is the result. Now, if you're a frustrated parent, this could be the app for you. Available now from the Google Play Store, possibly coming soon to the Apple App Store, and you can read all about it at techguide.com.au. Tech Guide.
Now, answering all your tech questions, the Tech Guide Help Desk.
Okay, we've got a double barrel Tech Guide Help Desk this week. Our first half is going to be about backing up. Backing up your data, especially in businesses. If you run a small business, you really need to have an effective way to back up your work, back up your data, your documents, your files and photos, because there was a study conducted by Seagate, and it showed an alarming number of people and an alarming number of businesses are not doing this. We are not backing up effectively. The study from Seagate shows that 45% of Australian businesses, that's nearly half, have lost work, while 17% have lost files, photos, and other things more than once. Now, there are excuses they offer. They say, look, we don't have time. There's a lack of time. There's also a lack of knowledge about the technology that account for this. But what you can't account for is not only the actual files being lost themselves, but also the revenue. It has cost some companies revenue, and also tarnish their reputations. Now, you lose your reputation, it's very hard to get that back. So, what businesses are doing, and the high point of this is on the bright side is that half of the business are actually have upgraded to network attached storage solutions. That's NAS for short. You may have heard that acronym before. And what it basically is a way for you to wirelessly and through your network back up all of your computers, not just one. Some companies thought backing up was just sticking an external hard drive into one of their computers. What happens to the other computers, we don't know. But the NAS storage solution allows all of your computers to be backed up. Now, Seagate offers a number of these solutions, and I've written about them on Tech Guide if you want to check out my story, from anything from 2 terabytes up to 24 terabytes, which will suit like home offices. It's a great way even to share your content around your home as well as back it up. Now, what you could also do, there is a way to set up your NAS, your network attached storage, with what they call a RAID setup. Now, RAID is short for redundant array of independent disks. That means you can set up a RAID 2, 3, and that determines the number of backups you want to have. Now, for some companies, they don't want just one backup. They need a backup of the backup. That's where the RAID setup comes into play. And it is advisable, if you're backing up a lot of data, that you have a RAID setup. So if, God forbid, one of the external hard drives in the NAS fries, there is another one to back it up. So it's a backup of your backup. And the reason you need it on an external drive is because if something happens to your computer, the files are on are stored externally so they are safe. No point just creating a little folder on your computer hard drive and putting files on the same computer, because if the computer fries, everything's gone, or God forbid it's stolen or something happens, you've lost everything. Have it on an external drive, preferably a NAS drive, and that is the way to go. Now, while on the subject of drives and hard drives, we had a reader her name was Sarah, I think, come through on the Tech Guide forum asking some advice on hard drives of her computer. Now, she's decided to sell her computer. She says, yeah, I am selling my computer, and she doesn't know whether to just erase her hard drive or completely replace it. I think she may be worried that the data that was once stored on the hard drive may be retrieved. Now, I have to say, it is a bit of work to retrieve a full hard drive, any kind of information. My advice to her would be to not only erase it, but to reformat it maybe a couple of times. Reformatting it actually makes it more difficult to retrieve that information. It takes some pretty expensive software to get close to doing that. But look, if she's worried about it, and if she doesn't, there may be some sensitive stuff on her previous hard drive, then the best thing to do then would be to pay for a brand new hard drive. So it's a fresh new drive, nothing to retrieve. If she's got nothing to hide and doesn't really, there's nothing sensitive on there, then go ahead, reformat the drive a couple of times and you should be okay. But there is that option if you are really worried about it, to replace the drive entirely before you sell it. You're listening to Tech Guide. And that's our show for this week. You can read more about everything we've talked about at techguide.com.au. A special thanks to our sponsors, Netgear, the brand you can trust for all your Wi-Fi needs. If you want to stay connected, the answer is Netgear. Thanks for listening. It's been fantastic having you with us once again, and we're already looking forward to you joining us again next week. So until then, stay safe and stay connected.